The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning. 12 minutes after 6, it is Friday, the 8th of March. A chilly freezing, maybe even just a little bit below freezing. A little bit of showers, shower activity coming back for tomorrow. No, I guess we won't have Mr. Outdoors today. That's right. He's at an outdoor show. Well, we'll talk with him on Monday about the rain that happened. You know, sometimes you just have, old habits. He will be coming back to his normal time, I think, in another week or two, and we'll get him back on the normal Friday heading into the weekend sort of deal. 770-5633 to join in. The Facebook.com/Bill Myers Show feed is up. And it was an interesting State of the Union. In fact, if we're going to play any kind of clips from the State of the Union address from last night, yeah, Darth Brandon, I think is what I know. The Democrats like to call him Dark Brandon. You know, when he gets feisty, as Punchbowl News called him this morning. But essentially, an old man yelling at the insurrectionists to get off his lawn, and so. In order to present this properly, we need a different theme for Darth Brandon and cue the Horst Vessel. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. I just wanted you to be in the proper mood, you know, to have the music set the proper mood.
History is watching. Just like history watched 3 years ago on January 6th, when insurrectionists stormed this very Capitol and placed a dagger to the throat of American democracy. Many of you are here on that darkest of days. We all saw with our own eyes the insurrectionists were not patriots. They'd come to stop the peaceful transfer of power, to overturn the will of the people. January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. But they failed. America stood. America stood strong, and democracy prevailed.
Yeah, it's interesting that January 6th still, you know, number one. Number one, ignore the Puerto Rican bombings and the shootings. And I think it was the Puerto Rican shooting in the Capitol, right? Back in the 1950s, and you have the Weatherman bombings, and you had the Summer of Love, all the rest of it. Yeah, but that's okay. That's all right. All right, so Biden continue. You know, it's like, where do you even start on something like this? It was like 68 minutes of the ravings of a lunatic. That's about the only way I could describe it. The ravings of a madman. He yelled, he screamed. There was very little unity brought together. And I think the part that got me the most, that struck to the heart of this challenge right now, is when he was talking about abortion yesterday. And, of course, everything seemed to be about girl power, girl boss, And I don't know if women are buying everything that that President Biden is selling. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. I don't know. But when he threatened the Supreme Court, it was just so uncalled for. It was so unpresidential, so unbecoming, so demeaning of the office of the presidency. And this had to do with Roe v. Wade. He said that Roe v. Wade was... He thought that was the good law, Roe v. Wade. And then the Supreme Court said there is no constitutional right for an abortion. And, of course, a plain language reading of the Constitution. Yeah, there is. There is none. And all it was turned over to the state, to the states to determine what they wanted. Right. But when he looked at the Supreme Court, there were six of the justices there. This is how that went.
With all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you're right about that.
He kind of mumbled that, so I guess you're supposedly saying that you're going to find out just how right
you
were.
The Border Patrol Union.
Yeah, I think that's what he was saying. I think that's what he was trying to say, but he kind of mumbled that a little bit there, too. What is a second Brandon administration, if God forbid he were to be reelected? Is that about packing the court? Is that what the threat was implied there? Are we going to see more people going out there, trying to attack and kill the justices, like what happened with Justice Kavanaugh, the attack that was thwarted, that sort of thing? Will there be people camped out in front of Amy Coney Barrett's home, again, in order to save democracy? But anyway, very unbecoming, very unpresidential, very undignified. There was little that was dignified yesterday about that. He talked about the, the first border he talked about, though, was actually Ukraine. At first, I was wondering if this was the state of the Ukraine nation. State of the Ukraine Union or nation or whatever it was. Because, of course, we have to, Putin first. That's the number one. He talked about the Ukraine border first. And then, eventually he did get to the United States border.
The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... Yeah. You're saying low. Look at the facts. I know... I know you know how to read...
Yeah, no matter. Oh, yeah, nothing like insulting the American people. The National Chamber of Commerce endorsed the Senate border bill. The Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber of Commerce that wanted the open borders. Of course, the Chamber of Commerce endorsed it. Nobody else did. And of course, the main thing is lie after lie after lie, to borrow a term there from the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Lie after lie after lie. This idea that there needed to be a new law to seal the border up, when all you had to go back to was remain in Mexico and President Trump's orders, which Brandon reversed. He reversed it. He stopped it all. First day he was in office, executive orders to open up the border. When he talks about wanting to hire more border security agents, which he did yesterday, it's about getting more border security agents to escort the invaders into the country. So that's the bottom line there. All right. What else happened? Of course, he had to insult former President Trump. That happened a lot.
President, my predecessor failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to American people, the duty to care. I think that's unforgivable. I came to office determined to get us through one of the toughest periods in the nation's history. We have. It doesn't make news, but news in 1,000 cities and towns, the American people are writing the greatest comeback story never told.
Of course, you notice that there was a Republican in the stands that called him a liar. That was nice to hear. And even Speaker Mike Johnson, who is pretty much class act, whether you agree or disagree with his politics and the way he is governing as a Speaker of the House, how he's running that position, he was just shaking his head. And you don't see that very often in a State of the Union. Just shaking his head, shaking his head. And, of course, what would a Biden State of the Union be without a call for gun control?
I'm demanding a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Pass universal background checks. None of this. None of this. I taught the Second Amendment for 12 years. None of this violates the Second Amendment or vilifies responsible gun owners.
To ban that, everything that I own then, probably maybe a lot of what you own if you're a firearms owner, would then be, banned. But it's not against the Second Amendment. A pesky shall not be infringed part about it. But of course, we can read that, but I guess we're not supposed to read that. The entire evening was almost like this, like a game of, you got to believe me or you're lying eyes and ears. It's essentially what it was. Hey, you know what a story. It's like, I've never had in my experience, and I've been watching State of the Union addresses since, I want to say Jimmy Carter. I think I was a kid in high school and I watched the Jimmy Carter State of the Union. I don't know if that was the year that he put the sweater on and told everybody to turn the thermostat down, during the energy crisis or not. But I don't even really remember that. But gosh, you had Jimmy Carter, you had Reagan, George H.W., Bill Clinton, W., even Barack Obama, and of course, former President Trump, too. You know, it's like between never was there anything as dark and divisive and yelling and just plain all out nasty as last night's State of the Union. Even when you contrast what Biden was talking about with the border, essentially blaming Trump and blaming Republicans for not, passing the border bill, which just would have ushered in more invaders to the country. You contrast that with going back not all that long ago in human history. 28, 29 years ago, former President Bill Clinton was also addressing the border. Contrast what Biden said last night with what Bill Clinton said less than 30 years ago.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
You know, as a Republican, I never thought I'd be saying, boy, you know, Bill Clinton sounds pretty damn good for a Democrat these days. Of course, I don't know if President Clinton would actually even want to touch what he talked about just a mere 29 years ago. This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED and KCMD. Hey, Tom, did you watch it last night?
Only part I got is real early in the nauseating speech, I would call it. Mm-hmm. I only got as far as the Ukraine, and I had to turn it off because it was just so Orwellian. You know, war is peace. He was talking about we need to stand behind Ukraine and basically, you know, protect Ukraine's borders while ours is being just totally vitiated.
Yep, the invasion of millions here, not supposed to do anything about that. Or if you were to pass that Senate bill that he was talking about, you would have just helped usher in more, is all it would have done.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, at that point, I and all those marionettes standing up and thumping their paws together just time after time, it was so, to me, it was a nauseating theater, and I couldn't watch anymore. It was just so disgusting, and I don't like being yelled at. So,
oh, boy, and you were yelled at for about 68 minutes last night, okay? The other thing I was going to ask you, and what it reminded me of, and I not that I want to tie art and television shows to maybe something that we observe in politics, but when I was observing Biden and the Orwellian tone of what you that you spoke about there, do you recall an old science fiction show on the Fox television network called Fringe a number of years ago? Do you recall that? Did you ever watch that?
Nope, never did.
Yeah.
I haven't watched TV for 30, 40 years now.
Well, how the State of the Union reminded me of Fringe. It was there was a whole lot of science fiction involved in it, but there were almost like alternate reality worlds. There was the one world, there was the one Earth that was operating, somewhat normally, and then there was the alternate Earth in which everybody almost had their doppelgangers over there, and it was the 1984 dystopian, you know, the security blimps around the, the cities, you know, things like that. And I couldn't help but think about that. You know, you get the metal fences outside the White House for the and Congress for the event yesterday and all this. And it's like we have morphed into this alternative dystopian light world and hardening all the time, you know, at this point. And
yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's there's like two Americas, and we got this one that's created by the fake media, if you will, their view of what's going on.
Well, there's almost like the image of what we're supposed to think. You know, in other words, we're supposed to stand up and say, "I believe," you know, "I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free." You know, that kind of thing. You're supposed to sing that, but you're supposed to ignore the reality of what they have, you know, of what has been constructed.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where we're at this point. There's this fake reality that's being presented. The narratives about everything. I don't care whether it's a COVID vaccination, Ukraine, whatever, inflation, the economy, and everything.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of the economy, there was one part that that Brandon talked about, in which I think, you know, you want to destroy what's left of the American economy right now. He wanted to raise all corporate tax rates to a minimum of 21%, I think was what he was mentioning there. And I was talking, my boss and I were even talking about this just a minute ago. And if you want to see all American multinational corporations move to Ireland or some other place, you know, go ahead. You know, go ahead. Just have at it. And, you know, you can sit around there and talk about the tax policy, but it was... everything was destructionist. Everything I heard from start to finish was destructionist, and so
that's a really good summation of it. Yeah, it was so anti-freedom, anti-common sense.
And look at the people that were standing up applauding that. Look at how they were applauding that, Tom. That's the part.
No, that's. I'm glad you're focusing on that, because that was like when I saw that going on. That was the most nauseating. Besides, his speech was so nauseating, but to watch the marionettes stand up and applaud that, it was so horrible.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, worst State of the Union address that I have ever viewed in my lifetime. And I thought the last one was bad. I appreciate your call there, Tom. And a lot of people, you know, wrote about this. I'll share some of the social media postings about this, too. But, you know, if you want to review it, you can go ahead. We'll be doing that a little bit later on, especially 7 o'clock hour, because I have Rick Manning, and we're going to break down some of what was said last night, some of what was planned, et cetera, and the economics of it. It's all sort of tied in here. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED, KCMD.
We get letters, we get comment cards, we get stuff said about us on the web. We're Grover Electric and Plumbing, and we love it when we make people happy. A customer in Medford writes,
"We had a new sink and dishwasher issue. No problem. They knew exactly what we needed and showed us how to assemble it. Fast, friendly, knowledgeable. For us, it's Grover's for life."
Here's what a customer in Nampa told us.
"We had lamps we loved, but the switches were shot. Grover's took the time to replace the switches. Now both lamps work at minimal cost."
Boise, we got this nice note.
"Grover's is like family to us. It's our go-to place for all our electrical and plumbing needs. Answers are honest. Service is not only awesome, it's inspiring."
Grover Electric and Plumbing, home of do-it-yourself and save. For the location nearest you, log on to groverelectric.com.
For over 50 years, Siskiyou Pump Service has provided fresh, clean water to Rogue Valley homes from pump to tap. And Siskiyou Pump Service is an exclusive Aqua Systems water filtration distributor. Siskiyou Pump offers a free water test for hardness, iron, pH, and conductivity. And if needed, you'll also get a free, no-obligation estimate on new Aqua System filtration and water softeners. There are also monthly incentives to purchase water treatment equipment. Call today for your free water test and no-obligation quote. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Hey everyone, it's Joe Montana. Spreading the word about pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can be life-threatening. If you're 65 or older like me, you're at increased risk. So, what's the game plan? A strong defense. Pneumococcal pneumonia can strike at any time in any season, so you shouldn't wait to help protect yourself. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccination today and learn more at knowpneumonia.com. That's knowpneumonia.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
The Rogue Gardener, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
Gardeners start seeds indoors so that they can get a jump on the growing season. The farther north you go and where there are still gardeners, the more you're going to see people starting seeds indoors to take advantage of the benefits of the warmth and that we can then extend the growing season by weeks and even by a month or two.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED and KCMD.
Bicoastal Media's Best of Southern Oregon magazine is online at bestofsouthernoregon.com. Find the winners in nearly 200 categories by flipping through the magazine online or sort by category and discover Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Nominations for the Best of Southern Oregon 2024 to 2025 begin soon. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to browse the current magazine and to nominate your favorite businesses for this year's contest on Wednesday, March 13th, starting at noon.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. New this morning, the 82nd Oregon Legislative Assembly adjourned last night. The session was adjourned 3 days before its constitutional deadline on Sunday. The session saw several large issues taken on, including homelessness, affordable housing, the drug crisis, and education. Governor Tina Kotek put out a statement last night saying, quote, "I commend lawmakers for a productive session with bipartisan successes and a strong focus on the top issues facing Oregonians," end quote. And a new wellness and recreation center is now open at the Salvation Army Hope House in Medford. Salvation Army coordinators and community partners gathered for a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday morning to officially open the Hope House's new community space and gym. The campus off Table Rock Road is a transitional living facility for those facing homelessness. Residents have access to a lounge, computers, and aerobic exercise equipment. The coordinator, Major Jeanette Mulch, says the new expansion is important for both residents' physical and mental well-being. Residents at Hope House must abide by specific program rules, such as maintaining a job and being drug and alcohol free. But Mulch says the program's goal is to instill key life skills to help people regain their independence. For local news anytime, head over to our website, KOBI5.com. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Cerna.
Well, Dad, this is not a shocker, so you don't have to sit down for this one.
Hit me.
Father and Son Jewelry has won Best in Southern Oregon.
How many years in a row has it been?
15? I've sort of lost count.
Well, don't let it go to your head. We built our reputation on what we do today, not yesterday.
I agree. Becca, you look like you have something to say.
Just want to say thank you, Southern Oregon, for voting your Father and Son Jewelry best again. We've been your favorite since I can remember.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day.
15 minutes isn't long.
Nope. And they're fun. So you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations. And Babbel's lessons are built around real life.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
You know something? Normally we would have Stuck in the Middle with You as the bumper going into Rick Manning and President of Americans for Limited Government. And Bob Shan had a better suggestion from Medford this morning. He said, how about War Pigs from Black Sabbath? All right. I'm good with that. I'm good. You know, I think there's a case to be made, especially since Darth, I don't want to call him Dark Brandon, but how about Darth Brandon? Darth Brandon is certainly looking to shove a lot more into the war machine. That's at least what it's looking like there. Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, of course. And Rick's out on the West Coast this morning in California. So I'm glad you woke up a little bit early to join me here, Rick. And that was the most angry, shouting, divisive, just a totally unhinged State of the Union address that I've watched in my lifetime. Can you think of a State of the Union that was worse or more unhinged than what was heard last night? What do you think, Rick?
No, it was a Biden campaign speech. That's the Biden campaign speech. And I wouldn't have picked War Pigs. I'd have picked Crazy Train, but that's a different story. But anyhow, it's
all maybe today it'd just be an Ozzy Osbourne kind of bumper day, right? You know, Crazy Train. That'll be it.
He kind of fits.
Yeah.
The fact is, every time he has a big speech, this is who you get. That reminded me of the speech in front of the Red Independence Hall, where he was ranting and raving about enemies and what he wants and how, trying to rally people around the enemies who happen to be Donald Trump. It's not a State of the Union. I mean, that's not a State of the Union, but in my world, I've come to this conclusion. We make a mistake a lot of times. We choose not to believe what those who are opposing us in politics are saying. We tend to say, gee whiz, they don't really mean it.
Or they're not that evil. They're not really that evil. They're just saying this in order to get elected, that kind of thing.
But, I mean, we tend to do that. And let's be clear. At least Joe Biden, his speechwriters in the White House, and the Democrats who clapped for that garbage, believe that you and I are the problem in this country. They clearly believe that the people who don't kneel down and bow down to their policies are the problem in this country. And we have to be instructed by that. And the fact that, this guy was embraced for a rhetorical assault on his philosophical opponents, it's clear that they view the world through an enemy-ally kind of construct. And as a result, it explains a lot of things about how they're still hunting down J6 people. And they're still, we hear, the Gold Star Dad and Steve Nicola.
Yeah, he was taken away in handcuffs. Last night.
And Brian Mast apparently got him out of it, got him released. And there's a video online showing him getting released or meeting with Mast afterwards. But it's kind of ironic because his son was from my hometown in Norco, California. And yesterday, while he was back in D.C., I was actually about 100 yards from his son's gravesite, because that's where my little brother's buried. So it is a you sit there and it's people in small town America whose kids died in Afghanistan. It's they're the ones who sit there when this president gets up and wants to talk about putting more people in harm's way, remember what happened to their kids who trusted him. Not because of a bad policy decision per se, but because of bad, horrible execution of that policy decision, and then a failure to accept responsibility and fire anybody responsible for it. It's we look at it as just a string of failures. And I guess if you had Biden's record, you would probably. I guess if I had Biden's record, I would basically embark on a complete attack campaign against those who dare to point it out.
And that's essentially what he did last night, the opening.
Yeah.
The opening rounds of the campaign.
Yeah, it is, that's exactly it. So,
but I look at the State of the Union as 68 minutes.
He's unifying. He's unifying, though, Bill.
Yeah.
I heard the Democrats tell me that it was unifying.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe unifying Democrats.
I live in a big world. I that's why Crazy Train fits, because not to go thematic, but it truly is an upside down world. And I have to, when I wake up in the morning, I have to remind myself of that, that we have people who see things from diametrically opposed positions with such philosophical differences that all these people say, why can't you get something done? You look at what can get done. What can get done is harmful. And it's yet the impetus and the kind of inclination is if everybody could just get along and talk. Well, the challenge is one side speak in Chinese and the other one speak in American, and the side speaking Chinese isn't on our side.
Yeah.
And we just have to come to recognition that that we do have a battle for the soul of America. And the other side sees it that way. They are battling for the soul of America.
And if you're thinking you're going to fight that with, we're going to talk about, what the Chamber of Commerce is looking for, a few tax cuts here or there and some policy changes. No, it's much deeper than that, the challenges facing us.
It's why what we have to do, and I tell my friends on Capitol Hill this all the time, what we have to do is get what we can get out of this particular congressional world. Fight for big things, but get what you can.
Mm-hmm.
But be set up so when we win in November, in January, we can affect sweeping change and rip this evil out by the roots. And that's ultimately what, and truthfully, Bill, preparation to rip stuff out by the roots. A lot of it very, kind of boring stuff, but it's instrumental to the functioning of the administrative state. Is not very interesting talk radio, but it is effectively we have to tear down the institutions they've built within government that then are used to fund the institutions outside of government that they use to attack us from outside of government. We have to do that, and
you're talking about a constructive action of destruction, and in fact, this is very much like what there's a
deconstruction.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine in at Oregon Firearms Federation. He's the head there, Kevin Sterrett. He was talking about as in the state of Oregon, when he looks at the state of Oregon, because we have the destructionist Democrats in charge here, as you well know, with red counties and Multnomah County pretty much ruling the roost. That's just the way it is because of weight of population. And he says, and we're always talking about on my show how the challenge has been to get Republicans to understand, no, these are not your colleagues. No, these people do not have your best interest. No, you can't help them get their bills across the board, or off the across the border. If you have to say no. But Republicans, at least in the state of Oregon, the majority of them in the legislature still say yes. Well, I got to sign on to this because I have to be responsible and look like I'm governing. It's like it's almost like if you can get the power, great. If you can't get the power, then you better be breaking the other side's agenda in one form or another, or being obstructionist. Would that be a fair way of looking at the way we should be acting, behaving?
Well, it's the way they act, and understand they. It is the way they act. The challenge we have is, I think, harder than that, because it is a mindset, but it's also at some level, and I'm just going to talk about the federal level because it's what I know better.
Yeah.
At some level, Mitch McConnell believes he's a conservative. Okay? He does believe he's a conservative.
Oh, yeah.
And he truly does.
The delusion reigns strong in the Kentucky man there, no doubt.
Well, but remember, his view of conservative is really mainstream. You're in the mainstream. If the mainstream is flowing to a big waterfall, he just wants to be nearer the right bank of the mainstream while you go over the waterfall.
When he goes over the falls, yeah.
Right.
You're right.
And what we're saying is, no, we have to cut a canal across land to get to a stream that doesn't go off the waterfall.
Right.
But that's hard. That's you have to tear down trees. You have to move ground. You have to do stuff that's big to be able to build that canal. And if you believe that you're in the right stream, you don't see the waterfall. And, it's just you're kind of just blithely paddling along. You just sit there and you look across the stream at your fellow travelers on the screen or on the stream or on the other side. We were saying, oh, it's better over on this side of the stream rather than on the right side of the stream. You're still in the same stream.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where kind of these D.C. Republican swamp exists. They think they're doing the right thing and they're being conservative, but they really dislike the people who are attempting to say, no, you're in the wrong stream, because that's shattering their reality and their illusion of where we are in the country.
Rick, what part of this could be the fact that many Republicans are still replaying 1980s, even, you know, Newt Gingrich and or Reagan and, you know, Reagan hanging out with who was the Speaker of the House, the Democrats at that time?
Tip O'Neill.
What's that? Tip O'Neill. Yeah. You know, Reagan, you know, a couple of Irish guys getting together for, you know, over at, you know, some Capitol bar afterwards for a drink and, you know, collegial talks. Is there a bit of that replaying of old tapes still going on there within the Republican Party?
Of course.
It is?
Of course there is, because there's a belief that we're all on the same side. Okay. And listen to Joe Biden. He doesn't believe we're all on the same side. Now, Mitch McConnell hears that and says, yeah, those are those problem people, Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and those guys. You know, and so he sits there and he readily compartmentalizes that as, oh, he's going after my enemies inside of my party. And so, and they're a big problem, and I've been fighting with them, so he doesn't get upset. He doesn't get upset that you continue to have, we now have an increase in arrests on J6. Apparently, 3 years later, there's an upsurge of grandmas who need to have the FBI going through their door.
Yeah,
that's why you don't get the outrage from so many of the older members of Congress on that. It's why a guy like Chuck Grassley is so unusual, because he's the oldest guy and he's like outraged about this and remains outraged, even though he's one of the, you know, he's part of the team. It's why Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who just got elected for, I guess, third term, is so important, because he started out defending the mainstream. He was the young senator who McConnell had up defending the choice to not defund Obamacare and argue against the Ted Cruz and the Mike Lees, that this isn't justice and how it's done. And now Ron Johnson's one of the few who's been around, who paid attention and realized that they lied to him about, gee, we could fix stuff, because the right time never came. And those of us who tried to tell Ron Johnson that at the time, back then, he was adamant that, you know, this isn't the way it's done. You know, we'll do this. And, you know, the answer was, that never happens. This is the only chance to stop Obamacare, because once the spending goes in, it goes to 300% payments for Medicaid, increased payments of Medicaid from a 300% population of the poverty rate. There's going to be such a financial constituency against changing it that you're not going to be able to get it done.
And I think that's what Biden was even mentioning. You know, it's not going anywhere at this point in time.
Right. Right? Exactly right. So, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, that's, there is a programming that occurs, and I hate to tell you, but we're not winning the political fight in the primaries. People who are more like the McConnells are winning the political fight in the primaries because they're funded, and the people who run and say, "Gee, I'm smart. I want to be in Congress. I know what to do." The single problem is, they're not funded. They don't have the money to actually run races to reach enough voters to be able to win.
Anyone who would actually challenge that Mitch McConnell way of thinking, that's the reality. Okay.
That is the reality. So it's kind of a dire thing, but one thing I do know is, you know, the one place there's a chance, and, you know, the good news of the week is, since we last talked, is the establishment has thrown in the towel in terms of, after the voters told them in no uncertain terms that they wanted Donald Trump, and the strategy of trying to get Democrats to vote for Nikki Haley to try to make it seem like she had a legitimate campaign failed. So that challenge is out of the way. But unfortunately, a lot of the members of Congress, Republicans who were nominated in those states, were the ones who were, you know, who we're going to have to work like crazy to get to do basic stuff the blocking and tackling of trying to deconstruct the mess, because they were hired by people who support, who benefit from the mess in terms of the funding agents. And I want to say, I mean, I want to sound like a leftist broken record, but that's.
But this is why I have you here, though, Rick, because you're a truth teller about how that system really works, not the way we're told it works through the media, and that would even include the Fox News channels of the world, you know, that kind of thing.
Very few people who report or walk around Capitol Hill are doing that because they're representing people. It's a, you know, they're representing interests, and that's fine. I've said this a million times. The reason every single corporation, big corporation, has people, lots of them, who they're paying, lots of lawyers and accountants who they're paying to try to lobby the federal government, is because the federal government can decide whether or not their corporation survives or not. And so, you know, that's a reality. So, of course, they have to do that. The challenge that we have is that lobbying the government has gotten so large, and the ties between the biggest of the big companies and the government have become so close that government is now, their job is no longer to protect the company from the government, but rather to use the government as a cudgel against their competitors.
And on that note, could you hold that thought for just a moment? I wanted to sure. to talk about tax policy that President Biden talked about last night. That to me was like the shot across the bow, that if you wanted everybody to leave, you go ahead and do what Biden was asking about. We'll be right back with Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, as we continue the D.C. Swamp Update for Friday, March 8th.
Do you have an electrical checklist that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need an exterior all-weather plug-in installed? Completed. A motion sensor light in your entry, pantry, or laundry room? Completed. Too many appliances tripping your breaker? Completed. RV outlet on the side of the house? Completed. Electrical jobs get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus, specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
Rise and shine with the ultimate breakfast experience from Artisan Bakery Cafe. You'll be wowed once again with this limited-time veggie breakfast bagel sandwich, a fresh-baked toasted bagel layered with cream cheese, egg, cheddar cheese, onions, pepperoncini, and fresh tomato. A breakfast sensation sure to give your day a jumpstart. Wait, there's more. Bacon breakfast bagel sandwich also available for a limited time. Order online at DoorDash or visit 1325 Center Drive across from South Fredmeyer.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
All aboard!
There you go, Rick. There's your crazy train. We got you back, okay? You good? Oh, no, he's coughing. All right.
I'm started laughing. I'm sorry.
Rick Manning, President of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. You know, on the... you know, back to the real world of things, President Biden actually, he did kind of halfway talk about wanting to keep the Trump tax cuts in. Did you hear that last night? Or did I hear that correctly? But he wouldn't actually say it directly, I don't think, would he?
No, he wouldn't say it directly. But, you know, even he knows that it's really dumb to increase taxes on the things that they railed about were largely the tax cuts that the business community pushed through. As part of the compromise, they had tax cuts that did impact various constituencies that were his constituencies. So, you know, it's a hard thing to unweave when you've got kind of a proposal that really was cobbled together to try to affect a lot of different people. And it's all was labeled Trump tax cuts with the quote unquote.
Yeah, he wasn't going to go there. Now, I know the Trump tax cuts actually cost me a little more money. I think it was about $300 or $400.
Well, anybody who lived in a high tax state,
yeah,
it cost me money too, as it turns out. But
yeah, it did.
You know, you end up losing so some of the home interest deductions. You end up losing the overall subsidization of your state tax,
exactly,
state and local taxes, mm-hmm, and you know, and in states where they have lower state local taxes, those states were no longer subsidizing the states that have higher state and local taxes.
And there we go. Now, what President Biden said last
night, when Florida and Texas write the bill and they have zero income tax,
yeah, exactly.
You know, get a clue.
Well, what happened last night, though, he was calling for a 21% minimum corporate income tax. And, you know, hey, I'm all for this so-called everybody pays their share. But I can't help but think that you do something like that and you have every company take off for Ireland or some other place that actually treats money a little better than the United States. Would that be fair?
Well, you know, he's seeking to weigh to kind of create a weighting on the in the migration. We have all these people coming into America illegally. Well, now we'll have all the corporations moving out of America to make space.
That's one way of looking at it.
I think his economic team does too much Taylor Swift listening, and they just have a lot of blank spaces. That's my only Taylor Swift song I'm ever aware of, because it was used in a joke somewhere and I picked it up. But nonetheless, we don't have to start with Taylor Swift bumpers. Point is, it is a bad idea. His former, I think Yellen's out now, but his administration has supported other really bad ideas on the international level of a minimum personal tax. In terms of how much you make, and having it be a worldwide tax, so you don't have a way to flee to escape it, and that is something that they've worked on through G20 leaders and the like. That's the top 20 economies in the world, and the governments that represent them, and so that's a function that they're very much aware of, is the ability of people who are wealthy to flee places that are too expensive.
Yeah, and they want to close that door, sure.
But they want to try to close that door internationally by having any place that you'd actually want to go to, say, you know, put a minimum tax on both income and corporate profits. It is so that's how they, you know, that's effectively how they want to close the escape hatch. But, let's just be real. Here's a guy. Let's just take this. Let's pretend there's logic involved. Okay, I have a hard time doing this, but your audience deserves some logical explanation here.
Well, since we're having fun and pretending, go ahead. Pretend we're talking logic.
Pretending.
Okay.
Well, I'm just looking at this. The same guy who's complaining because corporations are ripping off Americans by putting three fewer chips in a bag of Doritos. Okay, that guy is saying, yeah, but we're going to do and they're doing that because to lower costs, because rather than raising prices, they're actually doing him a favor by doing that rather than raising prices and having inflation go up.
Yeah, it's about hiding the inflation in essence.
So of course it is. And it's trying to survive.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there and your cost of a bag of Doritos is X, and you know the cost goes up by 15 cents, you know, and that's your whole profit. Well, the reason to make Doritos isn't so people can eat Doritos; it's to make a profit. Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, gee, if I take three chips out of each bag, nobody will really notice the three chips, but we get our profit back because the per chip cost is X, and that's how they figure this stuff out. So he's attacking them for giving you fewer Doritos, and in the same speech, he wants to attack them for making excess profits. Well, if they, where do they have one Dorito left in the bag? I mean, this is a, this is insane. You can't drive up. Inflation is a tax. You drive up costs. Most of that tax gets passed along to the consumer because businesses just, that's what they do. However, and one of the ways they do that is by shrinking the amount of goods you receive for the same dollar, smaller candy bar, et cetera.
It's like, remember when we used to have a half gallon of ice cream? Nobody has a half gallon of ice cream anymore.
No,
right?
You look at it, it's the container shake the same, but it's a little skinnier on the bottom. And
yep.
Now, like, it's not. So it's a, so now when I eat a whole, I eat a half gallon of ice cream, I don't feel as bad because it's not nearly as much. but nonetheless, so he's sitting there saying, on one hand, I'm attacking you for scrambling around trying to figure out a way that you can keep your price points low enough that people still buy your Doritos in my inflationary world I've created. And on the other hand, he wants to say, oh, but we are going to put an automatic tax on you with no capacity to write off anything and no capacity to say, well, gee, I didn't actually make that money.
Yeah, that money just came into my company, but I didn't really make it as profit. Yeah. All right.
That's his economic plan. They have, from a rational economic perspective, they have no economic plan.
Well, another example of no economic plan. And I think this was one of the most dangerous statements I've ever heard. I mean, it's bad enough what happens in Oregon with the attack on landlords. But this talk, of a federal going after landlords through antitrust legislation or through the antitrust laws. Oh, my gosh. You never want to see another apartment building built unless it's a federally owned building. Of course, maybe that's the whole idea. Maybe it's the idea that they just wanted to have just government-owned housing everywhere. But
that works out so well.
I know the projects. The entire country can be the projects of some of the nastiest urban hive minds. That kind of place. But you hear that kind of talk, and once again, Republicans need to believe what they're saying. Okay, this is not this. I don't think this is just rhetoric or just for fun.
Well, one of the interesting things about this is on the housing thing, and it goes to. It goes to the banking industry more than it does landlords per se. While there's some big property owners, ultimately the people who own the properties are the commercial lenders. Okay, if somebody doesn't pay a bill, just like if you don't pay the rent and your landlord comes, well, if the landlord doesn't pay the rent, the commercial bank comes. And because of the changes in the economy post pandemic. We have a glut of commercial property, and so they're ultimately the landlords. The commercial banker goes to the guy who collects the rent and says, "You got to give me my piece." And so there's a real challenge on that. So we also have he went after the banks in terms of credit card fees, which he did a couple of days ago, based on credit card fee or late fees.
But you see, that's really the economy. But credit cards, not only private credit cards and the government credit card, isn't that really the economy right now? That's the economy.
Well, of course it is. But he went after late fees. Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, that's banks. Now, I'm like the least supportive people of the banks because they basically have been funding the left and are part of the ESG problem. There's a lot of problems with the banks. That are pretty intractable. But the fact of the matter is, we have a banking system that is extremely stressed right now. And to sit there and say and go after and try to put a chill on commercial lending and to be able to refinance commercial lending is a big mistake. I mean, it's a big mistake to say on simple things like credit card late fees. We have 45 million people, according to Joe Biden, who are late on their credit cards. If you lower the late fees down to $8 which his CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Board, has done, if you lower it to $8, there's really very little incentive to not be late.
in essence, everything's an unauthorized loan, and you pay very little for the unauthorized loan.
Everything's an unauthorized loan. Yeah. In a Joe Biden world where the unauthorized loans can be forgiven with a snap of the fingers if you're in the right interest group, see student loan programs, it's an indebtedness where the government can forgive or forget any loan to any group they choose they need, is in fact the financial control mechanism that to be able to buy votes. That's what they're trying to do. It's old as time political trick, but mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is a lot of this, a lot of things that get said are warning shots to industries saying,
get in line with us or else, right?
You don't want to be in the crosshairs. And the Federal Trade Commission, which is the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission both have power to do antitrust. The Federal Trade Commission is completely independent, supposed to be completely independent. And they are, but they're, the people who's appointed are raving lunatics.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I can tell you in the FCC world, the FCC is going to be coming after broadcast stations because it's going to be, hey, you got to tell them everything about how's your DEI going? I read about that the other day. It's like they're just going crazy. They're doubling down on the crazy train. Okay, that's what we're looking at here. And I got to tell you, the Republicans that are in D.C. there, they better figure out that no, they're not your colleagues. No, they're not your friends. And no, you can't do anything to help them in any way. Rick, I got to get going here on other things right now, but this is one of the swampier talks, but it needed to be done. Jobs report came out today, 275,000 jobs, roughly speaking, though. There's not going to be any interest rate cut pretty soon. At least I wouldn't think so.
Be, but remember about 20, wait, there were about a little over between 50 and 60,000 of those jobs were government. So it's the self-perpetuating machine of hiring more people, a lot of them at the state and local level. But, when you're getting about 20%, you're getting a significant percentage of your job increases being in the government sector. Those are not jobs that are producing well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're costs on the economy, even though it registers as GDP. That's a conversation for another day, all right? The self-licking government ice cream cone. There we go.
Pretty much it. One that Joe Biden could get behind.
All right.
Anyway, thanks for the time, and we'll try to – maybe we can have some kind of yacht rock thing next week can't we just get along kind of.
Yeah, well next week it'll be maybe like Pina Colada song or something. I don't know.
Jimmy Buffett.
Well, that was Rupert Holmes, I think, wasn't it? I don't. But anyway, but maybe we'll have Jimmy Buffett thing. A cheeseburger in paradise. How about that? Okay?
There you go.
All right. Thank you, my friend. And Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com, and also get Liberty.org. And like I said, swampiest week so far that we've had in 2024, that is for sure. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass. We'll catch up on the rest of Town Hall News.